In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Gospel of John offers a very different perspective regarding the Christmas story. It's a cosmic perspective, if you will, for John. It's very poetic. It encapsulates the beginning, and it moves forward to what will be in the future and every time in between. This moment that has been prepared for all of eternity and will carry forward for all of eternity. This affects not only humans, but all of existence. All of the known and the unknown universe are all affected by what the gospel writer portrays in these verses. We continue to read in the Gospel of John in verse 2. This Word was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all people may believe. He himself was not the light, for he came only as a witness to the light. True light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. This Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The very Word of God is let loose upon all creation. We've been talking over the past several months about the Word of God as it comes through human agency, through human vehicles, through people, basically. We read these stories throughout our Bibles of the Word of God coming to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, even to Hannah in her desire for a child. God's Word comes to these individuals and is therefore spread amongst those they came to know and those who came to know them. But even still today, as we remember these stories and how God affected these lives, it affects us. This Word carries forward through these stories into our very lives, and we act upon them. Yet 400 years of silence has passed since the last prophet spoke this Word from God into creation. Here the Word takes on flesh. God incarnate. God is able to speak for himself, no longer needing a human agent, for he becomes the human agent. Able to speak to anyone, anywhere, at any time. No more interpretation needed. No more vehicle needed. God is let loose upon this earth. What will he say? Well, for the gospel writer, for John, God in the flesh has a more ethical than theological understanding. In three ways. First of all, we are to live with Christ as our example. That is a very practical thing. It affects our neighbor. It affects us. Jesus Christ is life, the gospel writer tells us in the third and fourth verse. In the beginning, harkens us all the way back to creation, to the story of Adam and Eve. So through him, through Jesus, through the Word, all things are created. Now, in this life, we are changed in our flesh according to Jesus Christ in us. And since Christ came as a child, we were able to touch him, to see him, to hear his voice. And it changed all of creation for all time. God is able to fully know us as humans, the human experience, and we are able to know God as never before. Jesus Christ is the true light that gives light, we read in verse 4. This is a very practical thing. Light reveals things to us, right? Looking into a light, looking into a flashlight, is no help. In fact, on a dark night, if you were to look directly into the light, you're going to see less than you would have before. Yet when we aim that light, when we direct that light using our hands or using whatever we have, we are able to see things in a whole new perspective. The light changes the way that we understand our surroundings, the way we act, the way we walk, the way we do things. This light affects things, and using the light of Christ changes and affects our perspective. Jesus Christ is also fully human and fully God, this Word in flesh that John reminds us and reveals to us. God's in the flesh is perfect, yet like us. This God in the flesh, this God incarnate, is God yet human. We might look at that and we might say, well, then he's imperfect. But that would be simply portraying our own experiences, our own shortcomings. As our example, God has revealed to us how we might meet his expectations by becoming like the Word, becoming like Jesus Christ, becoming like God in the flesh. Yet that's a tall order, isn't it? It's a tall order. In verse 12, we read, those who believe have the right to become children of God. The Word comes to us. The Word dwells amongst us so that we might better understand how to become children of God, how to become like God. This big word that we use to describe this is called sanctification. It's a big word, but it helps us to think this is how we become more like Christ. That's what sanctification means, how we become more like Christ. Paul says it best to the church in Philippi. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to become more like Christ humbly, is what he's saying to those in Philippi. The second understanding of God coming in the flesh as being more ethical than theological for John, we are reminded of that because we allow God's grace to change how we live daily. That's what John is calling us to understand, how God's grace allows us to change daily. The fact of the matter is, we don't measure up. The fact of the matter is, on our own, we can never attain righteousness. We're like Paul. We say, oh, I know what I should do, but I can't do it. I continue to fall short of God's glory. Yet God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his only son to die so that we may find life through him. Today, many Christians look at this life as a simple get out of jail free card, a way to forego going to hell and go to heaven. As long as I'm covered, then that is okay. But this type of attitude is simply self-righteous. It's about us. It's about us and our future. Well, that is a part of the grace of God. There is so much more. This life exemplified through God coming to us in the flesh is more than an eternal life. It is a sacrificial life. It is a life that is given for all humanity. It's about being blessed in order to bless others. The story that we find, the covenant, the promise that we find all the way back to Abraham. God says to Abraham, I will bless you in order to be a blessing to others. The same promise that we find in God incarnate, God coming in the flesh. A blessing so that all may be blessed. John points to the ethics of being a Christian is remembering every day that we don't measure up. We cannot achieve perfection apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. That's it. When we live out the word rather than just talking about it, we love the unlovable. Grace is never deserved. It's always given freely. We risk that which is vital to us, remaining humble in the Lord. Is a very difficult position. We also glorify the one who knows our every need. We remember that apart from God, we can't do anything. Trusting that our needs, that our very life will be provided for through this word coming to all creation. The third understanding that we find in the word becoming flesh and the more ethical response is that we are to be a more faithful church. The Gospel of John calls us to that, calls us to be able to find ways to engage and empower others with this word in the flesh. You see, folks, we must stop doing church and we must begin being the church to everyone we come in contact with. The church needs believers who love. Love those who don't deserve it. This real love, to love one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to love those outside the walls, those who are unbelievers, those who are unchurched, those who may not know how to act according to the word. But we are to confront disunity and disharmony in the Spirit, in the very Spirit of God. We're also to address the needs of brokenness. We do this by entering into the messiness of those who don't believe, who don't understand Jesus Christ as the truth and the life. But it can be difficult. It can be challenging because always when we enter into the mess, it seems like we get a little bit on us. But that's where the Word becoming flesh reminds us of how we are to do this. When we live out the word, we become something different, something new, something transformed. We no longer compare ourselves to each other because that's what the world does. We compare ourselves to Christ. That's it. That's what the Word becoming flesh teaches us, shows us, and tells us. That there is a new standard. And the standard is what we are called to live by. The Word dwelling amongst us, God on the loose. We are able to learn how to be a part of that. This Christmas time, this time of Advent, is our time to receive the Word, to receive a different perspective on the world in which we are engaging. We are allowing this Word to shape us, to change us, not according to this world, but according to the very kingdom of God, molding us, shaping us into His own image. That's the opportunity that we have as we remember the Word becoming flesh. As Dan comes and Joe comes and as we prepare to partake in the Lord's Supper, this is our opportunity to remember God coming in the flesh, God incarnate, God making Himself known and allowing us to know Him greater than ever before. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you, don't put it off another day. Find me immediately following this service. Allow me the opportunity to encourage you through the steps of knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that peace. Let's pray and we'll enter into a time of Lord's Supper. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, not only to be born, to become human, but also to die for our sins. So Lord, as we move into this time of partaking of the Lord's Supper, Lord, we just ask that You guide and direct our thoughts. Help us to have a different perspective on how You came into this world and how You call us to enter into this world in which You have placed us. Lord, help us to enter into the messiness of others' lives, sharing your light with everyone we come in contact with. Lord, we just ask that you guide and direct this time. May it be a blessing to you and a blessing to us. I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.